there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having us here, Leanne.
We're talking about the fiscal court meeting that happened last week, the regular scheduled meeting. It's happening back in person.
It is. This is the first time we've actually got together since, I think, about 5 months now. So it was good. We social distance about 10 feet apart so that we could talk without our mask on. And, of course, we sanitized the room prior, sanitized the room after we exited. So it was good. And it was really good, the fact that we had some closed session work to do. And I haven't done closed session since we stopped doing in-person meetings, just because I'm not so sure that it can't be hacked in the virtual world. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time we got to have a closed session meeting in some time. So it was good.
Yeah, and of course, closed session, the fiscal court can only talk about like legal issues that are happening and like property, that sort of thing. But to put that off it's not like you guys weren't busy for the past 5 months, but to put that off, I guess there was probably quite a lot to talk about.
There was, just stuff that happens day to day that, you try to keep everybody at the fiscal court informed on, that possibly is legal or has something to do with real estate that you can't talk about publicly. So there was, and, it was a good conversation. And, so we're all back up to speed now and we're good to go.
Of course, something that has been on everyone's mind and has been for those 5 months is the pandemic. Everybody's talking about COVID numbers, and there was some concern that there would be a huge spike here in Rowan County when all the students came back. And we have seen an increase in numbers, of course, but where are we at right now, and how are the community members doing as far as stopping the spread?
Well, Leanne, right now we have, as of last night, we had 194 cases, since the beginning, positive cases of COVID. There has been 180 of those individuals have recovered. We have 13 that are current. They're still being watched by the contact tracers. And we are very sad that we had to report one death associated with COVID-19. So we certainly express our sincere condolences to the family members of that particular individual. And we are doing very well, I think, for the population that we have with the university coming back. We're still doing, I think, very well with the total number of COVID cases. Our positivity rate, that didn't used to be a big deal, but it is now. I haven't looked at it hard lately and done the numbers. Last time I looked, it was like about 2.44. So we're doing very well with the population and the number of tests. St. Clair's testing, last time I looked, they'd already tested roughly 9,000 Rowan County residents since the beginning. So there's definitely enough tests being conducted to see, what's happened in the county. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think we're doing fine. I think we could always do a little better with masks, I think, and social distancing, but we're doing good. I'm proud of the citizens around county. I'm proud of the students at the university. They seem to be taking this pretty sincere, for at least the ones I see. And so we're proud of everybody.
Well, let's get into the agenda for the fiscal court. One of the first items of business on the list was amending the budget. Going into the 2020-21 fiscal year in July, the group anticipated that there would be changes because there's so much that has been unknown because of the pandemic, and it has really financially impacted the county. Let's talk a little bit about what had to be done for this particular amendment.
Well, amending the budget is not really all of that uncommon. When I make the budget and present it to fiscal court and we pass it, as everybody knows, the budget's a really good guess. But, you know, if we have a different revenue stream or more revenue stream coming in than we had anticipated, or a different revenue stream for that matter, we have to amend the budget. Everything has to be transparent. And so what happened in this case, you see that we are amending the budget essentially for the CARES Act funding. So we applied for CARES Act funding. So we got in $400,000+. So we have to amend that, actually amend our budget to accept that into the budget. We can't just let it sit in a bank somewhere. We have to actually put it into the budget for everybody to see and have a transparency of how we spend it. So that was the majority of it. And we also had some hazardous mitigation that we pay for in the beginning, and then the federal government reimburses us for that. So we have to amend our budget when we get to reimbursement. We have to amend our budget to accept that into the budget.
Taking a look at the agenda in line, the next one of the things that was passed was the second reading of an ordinance establishing an energy project assessment district. And this is the second reading of that particular ordinance, but I realized we didn't talk about it when we had the first reading. So tell me a little bit about what an EPAD is.
Well, it's a relatively new program. It started in 2015. It was passed by legislation at the Frankfurt. And what that does, it provides an additional way of for financial a financial stack is what financial people will tell you. But what it does is provides a different avenue or an additional avenue for funding to borrow money when you're doing a energy efficiency remodel or energy efficiency build. So what happens is, for my simple little mind, is if you're developing a piece of property and you're building a building on it, and that building is going to be worth $10 million and they're going to loan you $10 million. But for some reason, you realize that you can't really get the $10 million. So what you do is you can, if you meet the requirements of an energy efficiency building, that will increase the tax on this particular piece of property, but obviously because it's going to be valued more. So what the loan companies do, then they will loan money on that increased tax revenue or increased tax. So it's really just another piece of a loan that will allow to bridge the gap between a conventional loan and this loan. And it's just a one particular individual group. In our case, I think it's called PACE. And this is geared really started out towards the downtown TIF district for the developer there to be able to help their financial stack to bridge that loan process in order to be able to develop that property. But it'll be, the county did it. The city could have done it. The county did it but just simply because we may have another project come in outside the city limits, and it'll be beneficial for to attract other people in. It's just a way for additional financing.
Well, speaking of taxes, the fiscal court also started the first reading of ordinances setting property taxes, library taxes, and health department taxes for the county. I know that the city chose not to take an increase on the ones that they manage. And so what did the fiscal court do for the countywide taxes?
So what we did is we took the compensating rate, which
is normal. That's kind of what normally happens, right?
Yeah, and that's what you want to do. What you want to do is you want the same amount of money that you had last year. You don't want to go backwards. So what the compensating rate does is that is exactly what it does. It just will produce the same amount of tax revenue that you had last year. So in some cases it goes down, some cases it'll go up as long as, and ours actually went down, I think a very little, but ours did, the county. But what happens if you don't take that rate, your budget is built on your projected revenue. So you like I said, it's a guess. So if you don't take the compensating rate where you're going to recover the same amount of tax revenue, somewhere in here you're going to have to adjust your budget down if it happened to go down, which in this case, I believe it did. So, you know, over a period of time, you can be missing several hundreds of thousands of dollars out of your budget. And it's tough enough to make it work now. So I would never recommend to the court, unless we just had a windfall of cash, that you'd ever take anything less than a compensating rate.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of difficult to understand, like, 8 cents per $100 of assessed value. And for those of us who own property in the county, it's kind of like, well, what's the bill going to be when it gets here? And we'll take care of it then. But often, you know, you don't really notice, because it only comes once a year, that it doesn't change a lot.
No, it really don't. It don't change a whole lot. And but again, like I said, it's, you know, and all the other entities took a compensating rate that we've seen so far. You know, the library did compensating rate. Helped the board, they kept their rate the same. So, you know, everything was pretty much the same in the county.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
What will President Trump and Joe Biden have to say about the future of the United States and about each other? Join NPR Tuesday night for special live coverage of the first presidential debate from NPR News.
Tuesday, September 29th at 9 p.m. on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks again for being here. We're talking a little bit about the fiscal court meeting. There was a lot of discussion about fire departments. One of the things that the fiscal court is considering is doing run pay for the volunteer firemen. It has been a long time. For as long as I've lived in the community, there have been volunteer fire departments. And now, at this point, the fiscal court is discussing trying to compensate those firemen for the time that they spend fighting fires.
Well, that's, you know, volunteer status is not going to change. There'll still be volunteer firemen. And what we have realized over a period of time, one, it's difficult to get volunteers for anything at any level or any organization. But what we found that, and I have visited with all the fire departments, fire chiefs, and the city of Morehead actually pays a run pay, is what they call it. It's a run pay. It's $15 a run. And I'm not saying that's what the county's going to do. I'm just saying that's what the city does. So they pay a run pay. So when they show up to respond to a fire, they're coming in their own vehicle. And the city of Morehead is the same way. They're a volunteer fire department as well. But they show up in a vehicle with their own gas, and then they put their own gear on that most of the time they've paid for themselves or help pay for. And then they jump into the fire truck that's got diesel fuel in it that they pick, fried fish and stood on a street corner to collect money for to pay for that fuel. So it's just kind of it's something hopefully that will generate some interest in being a volunteer in a fire department, that you don't have to pay for everything up front of your own. And you get a little bit of reimbursement for jumping out of bed and running at 80 mile an hour in the middle of the night to a burning building. And it seems to be, you know, it's just one of those things that just helps them a little bit offset some of that cost out of their own pocket. We've got a wonderful fire department, volunteer fire department. They're all professional. They're dedicated. You know, the city, the counties, all of them. They do a great job. And this is just a way to try to help them out just a little bit.
That hasn't been implemented yet, but it's under consideration and discussion, correct?
It has. What I asked the court to do to allow me to move forward with some plans and put some to develop a plan to present to them later on. And I'm going to let the fire department folks put that together for me. They are the ones that knows what's going on and present me with a plan on how we can audit it and how we can make sure that it's not being taken advantage of. And for the most part, you know, these are volunteer, they're dedicated, they're not going to take advantage of it, but there's always one or two. But we need a way to audit it and make sure that if we're going to spend taxpayers' money, that we're spending it correctly and it is accountable. So I would expect this plan to probably, if all goes well, we'll talk about it some more, get the final touches on it so the other counties do it, the city does it now, and probably roll it out in about 1 January.
Mm-hmm. There is also some discussion about the fire districts. There's been a lot of talk about each district. There are currently six? Are there six within the county?
Five.
Okay.
I believe. So the discussion is the city does a lot of runs outside of city limits. And, you know, that's all based on you make your runs within 5 miles of your station because that's ISO ratings. And that has to do with the homeowner's insurance and all those other little things that most people don't think about. So what's happened over the period of years, and I don't even know when it happened. It's been around since I've been here, certainly, and was here before when I was a magistrate. You know, the city's boundaries extend well beyond city limits. And I'll use Haldeman as the example, which is pretty easy for everybody to understand. Haldeman's fire department, it responds to right around the Big Perry Road area, and that's their limit. And the city fire department actually responds to out that far from the city limits, almost out to Big Perry. And it's not quite to Big Perry, but it's pretty close. So they're within probably 3/4 of a mile to a mile of the Haldeman Fire Department. So maybe what we need to do is allow the Haldeman Fire Department and their district, and that's the way it works. That we need to allow the Haldeman Fire Department to come towards the city a little more, which will, you know, decrease the runs for the city. It'll increase the runs for the Haldeman, but that's acceptable. And, you know, they've talked about this for some time, and the city has. So we're going to take a look at it and see what we can do to ensure that the safety of the citizens are certainly the top priority here. But we want to look at it and see if we can make it more equitable for everybody.
Speaking of safety and security, there was some security updates planned for the courthouse. I know that recently there was some vandalism at the county courthouse. Someone threw a piece of metal through a window out there. And do you have any updates for us on that case? And let's talk a little bit about the security camera upgrades.
Everybody's reviewed the security cameras that they had that was available to us for the incident where they broke the window out. And we just determined it was done at about 3:11 in the morning. We don't think there was anybody intentionally targeted. We just think it was just a random act of
stupidity.
Vigilante, I guess, or what? I don't know. Just old Joe Bob and Bill Bob, I guess, decided to throw something through the window of the courthouse. But anyway, that's still ongoing. They do have a little bit of video, so they might come up with something later on. We want to upgrade our camera system. You know, we have Steve Richmond. He's our part-time IT guy who also doubles as our security officer. But we want to put some cameras on the outside so that we can see everything. And that's going to take place very soon. We already have cameras on the inside. We just want to make it a little better, a little more secure. That so someone does do some kind of damage to the county property, we'll be able to catch them and prosecute them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I spoke with Laura White-Brown, the mayor of Moorhead, last week, and she was telling me a little bit about the new commercial development in the city of Moorhead out by Kroger. And I was wondering, in the event that this is able to happen, that I know it will be a huge economic impact for the city of Moorhead, but let's talk a little bit about what may happen, what it could mean for the county.
Well, you know, I've always said, Leanne, that if you do something good in the city, it's good for the county and vice versa. So if you do a development in the city limits, all we're going to do is increase the jobs for all of our residents and probably outside of Brown County. Really, it's going to produce about 250 jobs from what I can see. It will also generate possibly a choice of restaurants. Some people say better restaurants. We've got good restaurants. Some people just want a different type of restaurants and different choices. So we'll have jobs. And I don't even know if they'll have a restaurant or not. I mean, that's be their business plan. But I think it adds a lot of opportunities. It could possibly even add to our tourism, meaning that if they ever decide to put a hotel out there, that would certainly boost our ability to attract or have more people stay for tourism. So it's really, I think it's a good project. I think that what has to be hammered out here is what the county and the city will be willing to invest with the developer in order to get this accomplished. Mm-hmm. And I think that's certainly negotiable. I think it's a very reputable developer, and I think they're coming to town with the money to do so, and they're going to invest it and do the development, whereas the other project we got going, that's the TIF district downtown is a total different TIF district scenario, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're almost out of time here, but I did want to touch base really quick on the county census numbers. There's just another week left, or less than a week left, to fill out that census form. And how's the county doing as far as their reporting rate?
Well, self-reporting, last time I looked, we were about 64.4% reporting. That was better than it was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it was about 61.2. And what I'm being told is the census workers are certainly out working, and they have been, from what I understand, they have been very successful so far at knocking on doors and getting the ones that did not participate either electronically or by phone or by mailing it back. So hopefully, you know, when I get all those numbers together and get them input, I'm hoping we did really well on this census count, because I've barely been concerned just because of COVID, people knocking on your door and doing these things. It's been a concern. So, and it's all, you know, if we could get the census count where it belongs, our funding will certainly benefit from it.
There's lots of different funding that comes from those numbers, and but there, people can still go online and fill out even at this point, right?
Absolutely. They certainly can. There's plenty of time left. You can go online and fill it out. If you fill it out and do it pretty quickly, they probably won't even come knock on your door.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the time we have today here on Open Mic. Round County Judge Executive Harry Clark, I really appreciate you being here with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having us, Leanne. It's always good to have a place where we can inform the public of what the county is doing and where their tax dollars are being spent.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.